So welcome to the podcast of the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and today I'm joined by Dr. Katie Faree, who is a GP based in Waikato. She is also a qualified international board certified lactation consultant. Now, as well as having worked in urgent care, and Katie has great insight into the world of urgent care as she's married to an urgent care physician. So she therefore understands the work that we do and can therefore recognise how we can benefit our patients if we take a moment to consider the role of a lactation consultant. So welcome to the podcast, Katie.
Hello.
Now, I think the best place to start is to say, what is a lactation consultant and what is it that you do?
Yep. So a lactation consultant, they're basically allied health professionals who specialise in breastfeeding, human lactation and infant feeding. The usual day-to-day work for a lactation consultant is seeing families who present with feeding issues, usually breastfeeding families, they do comprehensive feeding assessment, try to figure out the cause of the feeding problem, and they can implement plans that help the families to reach their goals, whatever that might be.
And as I mentioned at the start, you're a GP. How did you become a lactation consultant? What path did you go down? What did you have to do to qualify in that area?
To be honest, was not very aware about breastfeeding as its own sort of area of interest until I had my own children and experienced some breastfeeding difficulties, and just sort of in my journey of trying to find the help that we need, I met a lactation consultant and was really, I guess, impressed and blown away by this kind of area that I basically knew nothing about, despite, you know, making my way through medical school and GP training. So because of that, I got involved in breastfeeding support groups and set a goal for myself that's what I wanted to do professionally. So there's not really like a formal training pathway as such for doctors wanting to be lactation consultants. I did quite a bit of research, and the kind of only consistent and internationally recognised qualification was the IBCLC, so the Internationally Board Certified Lactation Consultants. They offer some different pathways that you can put yourself through to become a lactation consultant. The one that I took was Pathway 1, which is what most doctors that I know who have become LCs have gone through. Essentially, having completed medical school, you already done one of the prerequisites, which is having like a recognised professional qualification. Other professionals include like nurses or midwives. And so once you have that, then you complete 90 hours of lactation-specific education. And I think they've just added 5 hours of communication skills education as well. And so now once you've got the theory, you also need to have 1,000 hours of clinical experience doing breastfeeding support. And once you've done all that, then you can apply to sit the exam. And when you pass the exam, then you become board certified.
Another useful organisation to be aware of, particularly for doctors, is the Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine. So that this is an international organisation formed by physicians with an interest in breastfeeding medicine. It provides educational support and collegial support for doctors practising in this area. There is a journal and also a series of evidence-based protocols dealing with different aspects of breastfeeding conditions and medical conditions that affect breastfeeding.
And the reason we got together today is because I've been ignorant of what lactation consultants can do. As I mentioned, you're married to an urgent care doctor, and so they, via osmosis, have obviously learned from you and have found that that's benefited their practice. So What I'm interested in learning is how being aware of the services of a lactation consultant can we can benefit our urgent care patients by connecting them to you. So how do you think an urgent care clinician can benefit from the services of a lactation consultant?
Probably the first step would be to be aware of, you know, that family's feeding method. I remember doing this myself as a house officer working in pediatrics. You see a baby with, you know, an urti or bronchiolitis, and you just ask the mama, how's the baby feeding? And mum will say, yeah, not too bad. And you say, okay, great. or they might say they're not feeding so well. And then you might, you know, then proceed to do the rest of your assessment and give some advice at the end. So I think it's important to just ask those questions. How are you feeding your baby? Are you having any issues? So that way you know if the baby is being breastfed. If they are having any feeding difficulties that they might need help with. So that can be relating or unrelated to what they've come in with. But, you know, asking the baby's intake is a pretty standard assessment that we do anyway. And I guess the other thing to be aware of is, we assume that breastfeeding is for, like, babies. But some families might be breastfeeding toddlers as well. So that may or may not feature into their presentation, but it might still be an area that they could do with support. So once you kind of had that in the back of your mind, then you can offer it as an option if it seems like the family needs support.
If you pick up that there might be a feeding issue, or if the parents are concerned around the baby's feeding pattern, like they're feeding too frequently or being really unsettled, particularly in the breastfed baby, or if mum comes in with mastitis, that's usually a sign that there's some underlying breastfeeding issue. You might also see families with babies that are doing some feeding refusal or with reduced intake with no obvious cause. These would all be families I consider referring to a lactation consultant for a more detailed assessment. And I think one of the limitations with seeing these families in the general practice or urgent care setting is that we are only getting a small snapshot of what the baby is like. So the parents might come in with a history of a very unsettled baby, but you examine the child and they just look content, thriving. So I would also consider referring these families on so the lactation consultant can help them figure out whether it's more of a problem with, you know, having some unrealistic expectations about what life with a baby is like, or whether there is indeed some underlying issues that are going on. Realistically speaking, we just don't have enough time in the way that our usual consults are structured to be able to take a proper full feeding history and do the physical breastfeeding assessment. And having that option up our sleeves that we can refer the patients to means that we can get on with addressing their acute presentation while addressing these concerns that usually doesn't have a quick fix. I often do this myself when I see babies, you know, in a normal general practice consult where I've asked a few questions, picked up some red flags, but just don't have the time to address, to figure out exactly what's going on or be able to address it at the time. So I let them know that there potentially could be a feeding issue and refer them to a lactation consultant. The unsettled baby is a good one to refer for feeding support. Other conditions that come up pretty frequently would be when they're coming in with requesting a prescription for reflux medication, because there can be quite a few breastfeeding conditions that can present quite similarly to what parents normally perceive as having a reflux baby. And obviously the concerns around low milk supply, low weight gain, breast and nipple pain, mastitis. Some common medical conditions that can affect breastfeeding are typically things like ERTEs, bronchiolitis, hand, foot and mouth disease, things that cause the baby pain and discomfort, or maybe a blocked nose, and these can cause the baby to have reduced intake or even go into a nursing strike. Other conditions that can contribute to poor feeding include UTIs, allergies and food protein intolerances, and gastroesophageal reflux disease.
So really any child presenting with any illness or irritability, there could be an element of breastfeeding involvement that could play a part in either the cause of this or the recovery from it, and we should delve a little bit deeper. What about when it's a mum presenting with a problem? So the baby's fine, but mum's consulting you with any type of medical problem. Do you always go into sort of the lactation questions with them, or take the opportunity to?
So for mum, I guess it really depends on what she is seeing you about. So if she's coming with a chest infection, or if you're finding that you need to prescribe things for her and she has a child of potentially breastfeeding age, I think it's important to just check with her how she's feeding her baby. I usually avoid asking really specifically, like, are you breastfeeding? Because I think a lot of families can feel like there's a bit of a judgment, particularly if they're feeling self-conscious about breastfeeding or not breastfeeding. So kind of an open-ended question, and basically just frame it as, like, we're probably going to prescribe whatever medication for your condition, but I just need to check that it's safe, depending on whether you're breastfeeding or not.
Generally, conditions in the mother that can affect the baby usually manifests through the medications that she might be prescribed. Another thing to consider would be whether she's too unwell to feed, or whether she might be concerned about passing on whatever her illness is to the baby. So for example, mums might have gastroenteritis and they're worried that they might pass it on to their breastfed baby. And in those situations, we can reassure them that actually they should continue breastfeeding, because if they suddenly go for long breaks between feeding or suddenly stop feeding, they're at risk of getting mastitis on top of their illness, and that they are producing protective proteins and anti-infective components in the breast milk that will be protecting the baby against the infection they're having. So going back to the prescribing side of things, it is useful to just double check with mum how she's feeding her baby. And the main reason for that would be just to make it really explicit that I'm going to be prescribing this medication for you, and looking it up in front of them, checking for safety in breastfeeding.
So what proportion of your work would be directed towards the mum, and what proportion is towards the baby? By that I mean, you obviously have to look at the two together. They sort of come as a unit, don't they?
Yeah. So I think it's hard to put a number on that, because I really see them as one. So the breastfeeding dyad is what we commonly refer to, you know, the mum and baby pair, because physiologically they're also tied together. So her lactation is closely linked to the baby's intake, and how the baby behaves affects how she is spending her day. So I don't really see it as like this percent I spend on mum or this percent I spend on baby. I'm really just working with both of them simultaneously.
So we should be thinking of them as a pair in terms of if mum brings in a sick baby, we should be thinking of mum at some point during the consultation, and vice versa, if mum's presenting with, I mean, it could be an obvious thing like mastitis, but it could just be, you know, low mood or feeling run down, the question of how are you feeding your baby should come up, because if that might be a problem that somebody like yourself could help improve and therefore improve the overall situation of mum.
Exactly. And the other thing to be aware of, I think, is people will worry about the feeding as one of, if you know, if they're run down, for example, or if the baby's behaving in a certain way, most people will jump to the conclusion that it must be how I'm feeding. So either the baby's not getting enough or breastfeeding is taking a lot out of me. So being aware of sort of that dynamic is also quite useful, because often, most of the time, they are both doing normal things, and what they're presenting with may be completely unrelated to feeding, but people usually worry about feeding as the first potential cause, and they'll get a lot of that from, you know, family and relatives as well.
So when we encounter a patient who is breastfeeding, we should, in an urgent care setting, take a moment to say, to ask a question, how are you feeding and how is it going? And that might open a door in which we need to consider the services of a lactation consultant. So how would I, sitting in an urgent care clinic, go about finding somebody to refer to?
So that can be quite region specific. In terms of like public provision of community breastfeeding support, each DHB kind of have their own criteria for their referrals. Most places make it accessible to families by allowing self-referral. So I think in an urgent, in a busy urgent care setting, the easiest way is probably just knowing how the families can contact the lactation consultants and giving them their phone number or I think usually it's a phone number, sometimes it's an email address. Some of them even have like Facebook groups or pages that the mums can message directly.
So it's worth people in whatever area you are in the country or indeed the world to investigate where your services are and know how to refer, although it can be a self-referral, you say, in most instances, and be able to give the patient that information so that they can connect or you can refer, but it's something we should probably plan for so that we're then in a position to provide that information.
Yeah. So in addition to the publicly funded services, there are also the private lactation consultants. So in New Zealand, there's a list of private lactation consultants in the NZLCA, so the New Zealand Lactation Consultants Association. So that's just on their website and listed per area. The other place that you can send mums to if you're not like completely sure exact referral criteria is the La Leche League. So that's a volunteer organisation for breastfeeding peer support, which are sort of located in each area, most cities. So they have a website as well, so mums can contact the leaders and they can just ask them, you know, how can I find a lactation consultant? It's been suggested to me that they might be helpful. So the volunteers with the La Leche League are experienced breastfeeding mums who have had additional training in breastfeeding management and also communication skills. So some of the sort of more simple issues like, you know, figuring out what's normal and what's potentially an issue, or just providing some information about, you know, different stages of development for a breastfed baby, they're very capable of addressing, but they are also aware of what their local support services are, so they can usually point mums in the right direction.
And we can put a few links in the show notes to these various organisations you've mentioned, the board certified lactation consultant pathways and the La Leche League and all of those. So we'll include those in the show notes. So thank you, Katie. This was just a little icebreaker to, as I say, for somebody like myself who's not really aware of this as an entity, it's to make people aware that lactation consultants exist and what you do, and also just to instill that little question, at least for every patient you see, how are you feeding and how's it going, could open up an avenue that could make a real difference in our patient's journey. So what we'll do from here is in subsequent podcasts maybe talk about some of the specifics, conditions that you can assist with and that we should be thinking of. So but for now, this introduction, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.